Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
Hey, it's Jammin' James Riley on your favorite hour for great music and interviews. It's the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, this hour, we talk with Broken Arrow, Oklahoma native J.D. McPherson.
Everybody pulls from their influences, so the sounds all have a precedent. They may not be, you know, Sun Records sounds, and they may not be, you know, VJ Records sounds, but those are sounds of records that I love.
Much more coming up in just a bit. We also hear a brand new single from Chris Isaak later in the program. Definitely stick around for that. Now let's kick things off with the latest from the legendary Shack Shakers. It's their first album in 5 years, titled The Southern Surreal. Here's the first single called Mud.
Yeah.
That's Buddy Holly's cover of the Chuck Berry tune, Brown Eyed Handsome Man, released as a single about 4 years after his untimely death. Hey, our chat with J.D. McPherson is coming up in about 2 minutes. But first, let's hear a track from his latest Let the Good Times Roll. Everybody's talking about the All-American.
Hi, this is J.D. McPherson, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Everybody talking about the All-American.
Well, hey, it's Jam and James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour, and on the phone, Mr. J.D. McPherson. How you doing, J.D.?
Good, James. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely, man. Well, I'll remind people that there's no fear in McPherson.
That is absolutely correct.
I'm sure you still get that a lot.
Oh, you know, since I was a teenager, I've been corrected on my name, so I kind of am immune to it now. I'll say McPherson and somebody will say McPherson. I just go, yeah, because it's becoming a waste of breath at this point.
Yeah.
I don't get offended anymore.
That's true. It's funny, people still call me Jimmy, even though I've never gone by that. I did an interview with Dick Dale recently, and he just kept calling me Jimmy. And honestly, if Dick Dale wants to call me Jimmy, he can call me Jimmy. So.
Sure, yeah.
Well, man, so much has happened in the last several years. You know, Signs and Signifiers, just a great debut. We'll talk about Let the Good Times Roll here in a little bit. But how surreal is it that, you know, all of a sudden you're on late-night television with people like Leno and Letterman and Conan? Do you wake up the next day and go, man, what just happened?
Yeah, well, you know, those things are, in retrospect, it's a little different story than when it happens because, you know, while it's happening, everything is going by so quickly and you've got people with headsets running around telling everyone where to do and like three guys to replace somebody's coffee on a desk and, you know, sound guys and boom guys and you're running up and down stairs trying to do all the set stuff. So it's kind of like hard to enjoy it. And it's like an all day setup thing. And then when you play, you know, it's 3 minutes are gone in 20 seconds. And it's like, then it's over and you're like, oh, what just happened? It's like a hurricane blew through. But afterwards, when you kind of got a minute to sit down and sit at a table like a human being and eat and talk about it. And then, you know, of course, watching it, your family watching it and stuff. It's just such a cool feeling, such a gift to be able to be a part of, you know, television. And I don't know. I mean, I grew up watching bands. I don't really know, you know, if it's such a big a culture as it was when I was a kid to stay up late and watch a band on TV. It seems like generally people kind of watch it the next morning or something on the internet. But man, just to be able to play places like the Ed Sullivan Theater and you know, Conan's got such a great environment over there at his place. It's an honor to do them. I love doing them. They're so fun to do.
Conan's such a fan of, you know, rockabilly and the early rock and roll stuff. So that seemed like a natural fit.
He told, you know, our drummer Jason was the drummer in Low Straitjackets for many years. And Low Straitjackets has been on Conan I don't know how many times. He loves Low Straitjackets. Anyway, he was telling Jason, Conan was, that, you know, he's like, man, I would give it all up. I would give all this up to be able to play guitar in a rockabilly band. And Jason was just like, you're crazy. That would be a huge mistake. Just keep some of this. Keep most of this and start a band and you'll be fine. Don't give this up for that.
Oh, wow. That's funny. What you and I did an interview for a piece I did on a website about 3 years ago, and there was something I brought up to you that you weren't aware of at the time, and it was the misheard lyrics in Northside Gal. People thought you were giving props to ZZ Top.
Yeah, well, I don't want to not give props to ZZ Top, but even my drummer thought that the lyric was old beat up guitars and all season tires.
Oh. Oh, man. Well, you know, that's the sign of a great rock and roll song when people can mangle the lyrics a little bit there.
Yeah. Hey, the bathroom's on the right.
That's right. Oh, now, I think you guys have played festivals with ZZ Top. Have you got a chance to tell Billy Gibbons?
I have not, but we've been close to them. But, you know, the last time we played, I think we played with ZZ Top, where we were there at the same time. It was at a festival in Milwaukee. And we had to split right after we played, and so they were only like two or three bands later, so I didn't get to see them or say hello or anything, but huge fan of ZZ Top. So if people are confusing my lyrics with promoting ZZ Top, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, because it could be worse.
I'm a huge fan. Oh, yeah, man. I love that band. I love everything they've ever done, even the some people don't go for the kind of 80s synth drum stuff, but I love that. I love Afterburner. They're great, awesome. Billy Gibbons is an amazing player, and you know he was Jimi Hendrix's favorite guitar player,
which is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Las Vegas 19 is April 14th through 17th at the Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, featuring guitar legend Dick Dale. Brian Setzer's Rockabilly Riot.
There's a rockin' in Brighton tonight.
The Polecats.
Make a circuit with me.
The Stars of Rockabilly Show with Sleepy LaBeef, the Doo-Wop All-Star Show with Bobby Hendricks, Jack Scott, Rocky Burnett and Daryl Higham, Big Sandy and his Flyride Boys, Dave Phillips and the Hot Rod Gang, Jay Milano, Restless, and over 50 more artists.
But that's not all.
Burlesque Show, Deke's Guitar Geek Show, Car Show, Burlesque Bingo, Pool Parties, and so much more. It's Viva Las Vegas 19. For tickets and information, go to VivaLasVegas.net, and we'll see you there.
There's a rumble in Brighton tonight.
Hey, we're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. That was Northside Gal with sometimes misheard lyrics with references to either All Season Tires or ZZ Top. Either way, it's already a classic song from our guest, J.D. McPherson. You're a deep lover and collector of music. Was it hard not to geek out opening up for Robert Plant?
It was, I did geek out. I geeked out pretty hard. I even geeked out on the microphone in front of the audience a few times. But, you know, he's a very approachable man and really loves music and particularly really, truly loves old blues and old rock and roll music. And that guy, that's all he wants to talk about. And, like, you know, I remember we were in, I think we were in Oregon, in Portland, maybe, and it was the first show, and we had just met him, and you have to walk by his trailer to get to our trailer, and he had a huge sound system in there, like, blaring Howling Wolf at, like, top volume.
So oh, that's like, great.
After he plays the show, he wants to go listen to Howling Wolf. That's the coolest thing ever.
Absolutely. It seems like every interview I've heard or read of his, I have a pad handy so I can write down songs of obscure artists or, you know, whatever, because he's just such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, man. I think he's a pretty fierce 45 collector, too. I think every town I go to, and I'm, you know, we look for, like, the local good record store, you know, they'll always say, oh man, Robert Plant comes in here once in a while and just talks about records and grabs a few things. I mean, it's like, I know he was living in Austin. That's another thing. There was a record store that he was always, like, kind of hanging out in. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, I've heard those same stories here in Nashville about him just coming in shopping for records. Well, let's talk about the new project, Let the Good Times Roll. Now, immediately one of the things I noticed, just a lot more textures in the songs. The guitars were more up front in the mix. Were you nervous about taking a step forward a bit with these new sounds?
Well, I would say I was more nervous about the songs than the sounds.
Okay.
The sounds are, you know, everybody pulls from their influences, so the sounds all have a precedent. They may not be, you know, Sun Record sounds, and they may not be, you know, VJ Record sounds, but those are sounds of records that I love, you know, the moving into kind of a mid career of the Lee Brothers stuff, and Eddie Cochran, you know, guys that recorded at Capitol Records, guys that recorded at Gold Star that were using plate reverbs, and you know, there's some strange anomalies in those records, and those are the things that I love, where someone makes a huge chance and does something crazy, like that Marty Robbins record, Don't Worry About Me, which starts out like a really sweet, soulful acoustic ballad, and then there's a bass fuzz solo.
Yeah.
And that stuff just floors me every time. I like, every time that song comes on the radio, I wait for that part and I just crank it because it's so completely out of left field. And those really kind of daring engineering choices were the biggest influence on that record, I think.
Yeah.
You know, trying to find, you know, an electric bass, like, you know, it was kind of the same too. It's like, man, there is such a kind of a kicking against the idea of electric bass in rock and roll music, but I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you've got pictures of Bill Black playing electric bass.
Sure.
You know, in the late 50s. You got, you know, all the Eddie Cochran records, which are some of my favorites. The Ruby Valens records. There's tons of, like, cool blues that use electric bass. Just, it helps drive a little bit more. And so some songs are screaming for these new things. But I wasn't really nervous about that. I was nervous about the songs.
Yeah.
It's all over, but the shouting. It's all done. About that
for me. It's all over but the shouting. It's all done but the beat. It's all healed but the hurting. It's all gone but the need. There's a voice in my head that's a calling. Time moves at a puzzling speed. If I don't get some quiet, if I don't get it right, then I might start to wonder why I put up a fight. It's all over but the shouting. It's all done but the beat. It's all healed but the hurting. It's all gone but the need. Chance it'll never get rid. It's all over but the shouting. It's all done but the deed. It's all healed but the hurting. It's all gone but the need.
It's all over but the shouting from the album Let the Good Times Roll on Rounder Records by our guest, J.D. McPherson. Mark Neal co-produced, worked with, you know, of course, the Black Keys and the Paladins, Deke Dickerson, one of my favorite groups, Hillbilly Moon Explosion. What was this experience like working with him?
Well, if you want those sounds of which I spoke earlier, that's the only guy you're going to want to talk to.
Yeah.
That's his bread and butter, and he does it better than anyone else on the planet, and he studied with the original people. You know, he's a student of Bill Porter, and he knows everybody. Good friends with the original Nashville A-Team, the guys that are left to talk to. He's just kind of a walking encyclopedia of how to engineer that sound. And he's got great ideas, too. You know, he's got, kind of like me, he likes all kinds of music, and you know, he likes to play records in the studio. And sometimes you'll be in the middle of a guitar solo and he'll say, come listen to the record. And
cool.
You'll go listen to something and he'll play, you know, he'll play all kinds of stuff from David Bowie records to some obscure Texas psychedelic rock that you've never heard to Mary. One time, my favorite story was walking into the control room and Marry Me Bill by Marilyn McCoo was on the turntable. So he's just always throwing you curveballs.
That's cool.
And what's cool about the studio, too, is like it is so deceptively simple looking. I mean, he's got a few things here and there. It's kind of a small studio, but it is so incredibly acoustically sound, and that equipment is so well maintained and in some cases modified to make just one of the biggest, most billowy sounds that you've ever heard. He's a master.
There's a story about how the title cut came about, Let the Good Times Roll. Something about Tylenol PM and an episode of Frasier. Is that correct?
Speaking of being worried about songs, that was one that came out. But, you know, in turn, I think that I am the most proud of that song just because it works on a lot of levels for me. And, you know, I'm not sure it's going to be the same for everyone, but when I kind of look at a thing, I can actually say that's finished. I wouldn't change anything about it. That's the one song that I feel that way about. It's got a weird theme, but I don't know. It's cohesive to me.
I miss you so every time I fall away. I miss you so. Left the good times roll. Why can't
Now, speaking live, Head Over Heels, that has to be a fun one to do.
Head Over Heels is, I would say those two songs get probably the biggest reaction these days. Like the Good Times Roll and Head Over Heels. And Head Over Heels is, you know, in a different way, where Let the Good Times Roll was a very laborious process to make it happen. Head Over Heels happened completely by accident. And I'm also happy about it, the way that one turned out. You know, there's a band in the 70s called Dr. Feelgood who were from England, and they were kind of coming out of new wave and sort of between, I'm trying to figure out, like, they were pre-punk, pre-new wave type thing, but they were a rock and roll band with like this incredible nitrous energy. And their guitar player, Wilco Johnson, is a guy that I had just found out about, and he has this really singular guitar technique. I don't think anybody, there might not be very many people that do it, but he doesn't use a pick, but he doesn't really use his fingers either. It's almost like he punches the strings and then stops the strings with his left hand to do this kind of, it almost like a handmade vibrato sound.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to kind of wrap my head around how to make it happen. It became the intro to Head Over Heels, that kind of blocka, 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 block. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, says, record. And so we got the band going, and we just recorded a rhythm track with that, and that's it. That's what became the song, that track. We just kind of said, okay, let's do it this many times. Let's do a bridge and just have it just be the bass. Put a fuzz on the bass. Mark ran out, put a fuzz on the bass, and that became it. It was like one take, boom. And I had to write lyrics for it. It was going so fast.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I love that kind of stuff when that happens, like that. Lightning in a bottle.
Absolutely. And I imagine there's no auto-tune on the hand claps either. That's, like, real.
Yeah, those are a bunch of people standing around an old microphone.
That's great.
Hey, this is J.D. McPherson, and this is Head Over Heels.
So you weren't able to make it out to your favorite festival this year.
Or you forgot to buy your favorite band's t-shirt in concert.
Or you just can't get enough of cool merchandise from the rockabilly scene. Rocking Merch is the place for you. The official online store for Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend. As well as pomade, CDs, records, DVDs, and other merchandise from some of your favorite rockabilly artists. Find them online at rockingmerch.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your rockabilly needs. This is Jammin' James Riley, and we're speaking with special guest and Rounder Records artist J.D. McPherson. You co-wrote Bridge Builder with Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. What was that experience like for you?
That was so long ago. That's the song that I wrestled with probably from right after when Sign of Signifiers came out. Dan had got a hold of, speaking of collectors, that guy's a collector.
Sure.
To the max, not just records, but, you know, hi-fi equipment, guitars, motorcycles. And that guy's got 10 of the coolest of everything. But he got a hold of that record and invited me to come hang out at his studio. And so we wrote a little bit. I had that Bridge Builder song and had a couple of verses, and I had the kind of chord changes of it. But needed help with the chorus, and I couldn't really bring it home. He really helped me sort of, the main thing he did was sort of help me get confidence that I could start writing a little bit outside of the box.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying, man, I don't feel comfortable with these chords. And he was like, you like Midsommar Everly Brothers? And I said, yes. And he goes, and what are you talking about? So, yeah, he's really good. I really like, I respect Dan a lot. He's a very good musician, and he's, I think, one of the best voices on the radio. I think he's got a great voice, and I love hearing rock and roll being played on pop radio. It's awesome.
Absolutely, it is.
I'll build something that is real and true, building bridges to you. Father's daughter.
I'll
Man, there's a cool guitar tone in It Shook Me Up. Kind of reminds me of Johnny Horton, you know, Honky Tonk Hardwood Floor or something in there in the middle of that.
Yeah, you're probably hearing the six-string bass. It's not... The strings aren't thick like a bass, but Dan Electro made it.
Okay.
They make them now. I think Fender makes them now, but it's kind of like a baritone, but deeper. It's all the notes of a guitar, but like down an octave or two. And Mark Neal's playing that.
Oh, cool.
That kind of thumpy thing in the background is Mark thumping around the six-string bass. And I love that solo that he played on that track. I was like, man, Mark is an amazing guitar player. I was like, man, you got to do something on this record. And that was the one. And man, it's killer.
Didn't get what I wanted from the world today. Didn't get all the answers to swear away. And the motion that I started didn't follow through. And I didn't get some time with you. Didn't do nothing but him and Paul. Didn't stick a piece of paper in the wailing wall. Stranger worth talking to, and I didn't get some time with you.
It shook me up.
It shook me up. Get some time with you. Some time with you.
I mean, another standout to me is I must have met Little Caroline. love that song.
Thanks, man. It was so funny because I was looking at when we had the songs all done, and I was like, man, these songs have really long titles.
Yeah.
and so it's funny to hear you kind of
jumble it. Yeah, yeah.
Remember the name of the song.
And of course, I can't read my handwriting over here, so that's part of it. Oh,
yeah. Thanks, Caroline. Caroline, yeah. As we shorthand it in the band, is another one of our favorites to play. It's kind of out of the tradition of Link Wray and the Cramps. Very simple. I mean, it's just a couple chords and like almost like a trance-like approach to the guitar. There's not a lot, but there's all this room for sounds to move around, and I love that. I love playing that song. I loved recording that song too.
Must have met Little Caroline. Like a teenage toy.
'cause I met little Caroline.
The second annual Nashville Boogie Vintage Weekender.
It's a Nashville Boogie, boogie to the break of dawn.
May 12th through the 15th at the Opryland Hotel in Nashville Palace. In Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Musical guests include Reverend Horton Heat, the Queen of Rockabilly, Wanda Jackson, the Blasters, Pokey LaFarge, and over 30 more artists including Dale Watson, James Infill, Slim Jim Phantom, Dibs Preston, Chris Casello, the Planet Rockers, Marcel Bontempi, Big Sandy and his Flyride Boys, the Go-Getters, Rosie Flores, Woody Pines, Hillbilly Casino, and so much more. And don't forget the Western Roundup Fashion Show by Riley Reed, the Pinup Pageant by Sabina Kelly, and the Indoor Pre-1972 Car Show. It's the Nashville Boogie Vintage Weekender. And find out about the Sunday after party at the Grand Ole Opry House. For tickets and information, go to NashvilleBoogie.com, and we'll see y'all here. The Lewis family doesn't have to perfect the rock and roll attitude, because they invented it. The queen of the pumping piano is back, and she's just getting started.
He's a real bad boy, and he's sweet on me. He's my good rockin' man. He's my hard rockin' man.
Linda Gail Lewis makes her Lanark Records debut with Hard Rockin' Woman.
Now pretty soon you're gonna see. You wish you never heard of me.
Featuring a stellar band, including guitars by Danny B. Harvey and Quentin Jones, as well as backing vocals by her daughter, Annie Marie Lewis.
Heartbreak Highway, and I might lose control.
Linda Gail Lewis, Hard Rockin' Woman, produced by Quentin Jones on Lanark Records. Your source for rockabilly, blues, surf, roots, early country, and rock and roll. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, we just heard You Must Have Met Little Caroline from Let the Good Times Roll from our guest, J.D. McPherson.
I think it was your idea to put the songs you did for VJ, I Wish You Would, and Steal Away on a VJ 45, so you could have that cool logo on a 45 of yours.
Well, you know, if you go looking for records, that's one label that jumps out. You're like, oh, who's on it? You know, and you'll pick it up, and it could be anybody. You know,
sure.
It could be the Staple Singers. It could be, you know, John Lee Hooker. It could be, but, you know, that's a label that just commands it. It's one of those things like a diamond, you know, shining. You can see it. And so, I mean, immediately when Rounder suggested, you know, oh, hey, you can cover VJ songs if you want, you know, because we've acquired that label. I mean, immediately it popped into my head, can we do a 45?
That's great.
You know? And so, you know, technically the first VJ release since 1965. We were so excited about that. He really made sure that the serial numbers were all correct and everything, too. So, yeah, that was a big geek-out moment.
I have it on my jukebox, and it's funny. A few months ago, there was something wrong with it. I had to have somebody come out here and clean it, so I was playing it really slow. So I put it, and it sounded like you were just totally hammered. I was like, what is wrong with my jukebox? I put it on. I'm like, oh, I think there's something wrong here.
There could have been something wrong with me, too.
Well, it could have been. Who knows?
Early in the morning, about break of day. That's my baby went away. Crying and bleeding won't do no good. Come back, baby, wish you would. Love you, baby, can't help myself. For no one else, hugging and kissing late at night makes your little baby feel just right. Crying and bleeding won't do you no good. Come back, baby, I wish you would. Come back, baby, I wish you would. Come back, baby, I wish you would. You would.
Do you have any requests for the show? If you came in here and co-hosted with me, what song would you want to reach for?
Man, you know, since we were talking about it, why don't you play We Want a Boogie by Sonny Burgess and the Pacers?
Man, that is a great one. Man, great having you on here. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing what else happens with you.
Great talking to you again, James.
Hi, this is Sonny Burgess of the Pacers, and I'm listening to my favorite hour of great music. It's a rockabilly and blues radio hour with Jammin' James Riley. That's Jim Riley.
Street, baby, and all over town. Man, you ought to see the light.
request from J.D. McPherson, that's Sonny Burgess and the Pacers with We Wanna Boogie. That's their first single for Sun Records back in 1956. Now this is a real treat, as promised, from the upcoming Vanguard Records release, First Comes the Night. Brand new from Chris Isaac. Here's the first single, Please Don't Call, on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
I don't want you to forgive me. What's the use of being bad? Please don't call. We'd only start again.
Chris Isaac from First Comes the Night, releasing November 13th on Vanguard Records with his first single from that project, Please Don't Call. Now, you've been listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Stay tuned for more great music and interviews in upcoming weeks. Until then, it's Jammin' James Riley saying keep on rockin'.